By downloading or listening to this podcast, you are agreeing to Moody's legal terms and conditions found at moodys.com/disclaimer, including that the information provided is not investment or financial advice, and that Moody's will not be liable for losses arising from your use of the information.
I'm Danielle Reed,
and this is Moody's Talks, Focus on Finance. In today's episode, as part of Moody's deep dive into the benefits and risks of private credit, my co-host Michael Porter will talk to analysts Tom Aaron of the public finance team and Shahar Gonen of the insurance team about growing investment in private equity and private credit by state and local pension funds and insurance companies. They'll be taking a look at how different the exposure, risks, and benefits of those private market investments are for those two distinct types of institutional investors. With the state and local pension funds taking on more risk than insurers to get much needed returns. Michael, hi. It is good to see you again.
Hi, Danielle. Glad to join and help make public the importance of private credit.
So speaking of which, first of all, private credit, private equity, what is it?
Good question. Private credit is a form of lending that's not provided in the regulated bank market or through public markets. Instead, it comes from dedicated funds. Private equity is a form of investing in companies that aren't listed on any public exchange. And there's a natural connection between the two in that private equity buyout funds use a lot of leverage. So there's a natural need for credit, which private credit can provide.
Got it. Thanks. Okay, and second question, why is there a report talking about such different types of institutional investors, meaning pension funds on the one hand and insurers on the other? What links the two in this space?
Well, maybe first I should mention that pension funds and insurers think of these investments as alternatives, specifically alternatives to traditional fixed income instruments, broadly syndicated loans, and other publicly traded debt. The alternatives include private equity, real estate, hedge funds, and other long-term investments. And to answer your question, what links pension funds and insurers is that they're two very large investors in these alternatives. And the demand they provide has really fueled the overall growth of the sector.
And, you know, the private markets are huge.
Enormous. Private equity and private credit assets under management together are roughly $7.5 trillion. And pension funds are the biggest investor in both. Pension funds hold about 2/3 of private equity investments and 75% of private credit investments.
Thanks, Michael. And Shahar and Tom have now joined us, so I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Danielle. Tom, Shahar, welcome to Focus on Finance.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Tom, I'll start with you. What brought the pension and insurance team together to cover this market segment of alternate investments? What's the common ground here for those two sectors?
Well, both U.S. public pension funds and insurance companies share a similar mandate in that they are tasked with managing assets in order to meet long-duration liabilities. And furthermore, both have faced a significant challenge in recent decades because with interest rates being so low for so long, high-grade fixed income securities do not offer robust returns in pursuit of their respective mandates. So not only do they have to try and manage against similar liabilities, but they both face similar market challenges.
Right. So both are managing assets to meet long-term liabilities, and they're doing so in a, at least until recently, very low interest rate environment that is crimping returns. But that may be where a lot of the similarities end, correct? But one of the main points I took away from your and Shahara's report is that the U.S. public pension funds that you cover and the insurance company Shahar covers, they have very different asset risk profiles. And that's much higher asset risk at the pension funds, correct?
So that's correct. But interestingly enough, that wasn't always the case. And one of the first things that we found when looking at this comparison is that the difference in asset risk across these two types of entities has really gradually emerged over the course of several decades. And if you go back to the mid-1980s, U.S. public pension funds and U.S. life insurers, for example, had nearly identical allocations to debt securities. But since that time, U.S. public pension funds have greatly increased their allocations to public equity and a number of alternative asset classes, including private equity and private credit, and to a far greater magnitude than insurance companies. So, for example, we estimate that U.S. public pension funds now, in aggregate, have around 20% of their assets invested in private equity and private credit.
So it's a gradual divergence over many years, dating back to the mid-80s, not a sudden divergence. And one of the main reasons the public pension funds have been so eager to invest in private credit, private equity, has been that they're underfunded, correct?
So that's part of the story, yes. And a unique driver of U.S. public pension accounting and funding is that higher future return expectations translate into lower near-term contribution requirements and reported liabilities on the part of their sponsoring state and local governments. So investments like private equity and private credit help to provide for a higher expected return on public pension portfolios, meaning lower near-term costs and reported liabilities for governments. But the cost, so to speak, of keeping those costs lower through greater investment risk is greater potential for pension investment losses. And ultimately, that could affect the credit quality of some state and local governments in the event those investment volatility risks materialize.
So the attraction is higher future expected returns, but the possible downside is greater potential for investment losses. So just how much higher are the returns from private equity than those from public equity or more traditional fixed income instruments?
Well, those future expectations, of course, depend on who you ask. But for example, one of the set of capital markets assumptions that we cited in our report has private equity return expectations about 140 basis points over 10 years above that of public equity. So just a comparison there of some significantly higher return potential from some of the private asset classes.
Okay. And taking the risk side of the equation, how volatile can this be? What's at stake here potentially?
Well, if we stick with that private equity example, about 50% more risk, again, according to those same capital markets assumptions that we cite. So certainly that risk-reward dynamic is very strong in U.S. public pension investment portfolios.
Thanks, Tom. A very helpful overview of the implications of alternative investments for the U.S. public pension funds. So maybe now we can shift to insurance. Shahar, how do the insurers' investments in alternatives, including private credit, compare with that of pensions?
It's definitely much smaller as a percentage of total investments compared to public pension plans. For insurers, investments in alternatives, which include private equity, real estate, hedge funds, and other long-term investments, has increased to approximately 5% of their cash and invested assets at year-end 2020, and that's up from 3% in 2006. This is an incremental increase compared to the U.S. public pension funds, which have taken a much more aggressive approach, and by our estimate, have increased their allocation to alternatives from 9% to 25% over the same period. Life insurers' investment portfolios remain fairly conservative, nearly three-quarters of which is invested in fixed income bonds, mostly investment-grade corporate bonds. And they also invest about 13% of their cash and invested assets in commercial mortgage loans, which is a longstanding area of investment expertise for insurers.
And narrowing the focus a bit to private credit specifically, your report talks about insurers lending mostly to investment-grade borrowers, I think.
Right. So insurers have made some investments in traditional private credit, and we expect that to grow over time. But life insurers have a long history and much larger exposures to private placements, which are loans to investment-grade corporate borrowers outside of public markets or traditional bank lending. The private placement market usually has bespoke deal structures and have flexible and customizable terms. so insurers are able to identify assets that match the specific duration needs of their liabilities. Insurers are also able to earn an incremental spread and obtain strong covenant protections to offset the slightly greater illiquidity of private placements.
So that really is different from the approach taken by pension funds. I mean, even as insurers inch into less liquid investments in private markets, it sounds like they're remaining quite conservative. Tom, I had just one more question for you about public pension funds. How much of a risk to state and local governments' credit is there from the pension funds' large allocation to private equity and private credit?
Well, the short answer is that that risk varies quite substantially across governments. So some governments have pension funds that are multiple times the size of their annual revenue. And so those where their investment exposure is significant to some of these private assets, those are the governments with the most exposure. On the other hand, there are some governments where pension funds are very small in comparison to the size of the sponsoring government, and so the risks are correspondingly less. Furthermore, there were substantial fiscal 2021 investment returns posted by U.S. public pension funds, in many cases their single best year on record. So that's provided a funding boost to many state and local governments who, prior to that year, were still grappling with substantial unfunded liabilities dating back even to the financial crisis. On the other hand, those recent gains also face risk of reversal if some of the risks we've discussed surrounding private credit, private equity, or even public equity were to materialize. That would translate to a fresh round of pension cost increases for a number of state and local governments.
I see. So really, there is a potential to undo some of the better news pension funds have had in the last year or so in terms of their funding status. Tom, Shahar, and Michael, thank you all very much for your insights. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you'd like to read the research referenced in this podcast, you can find it by clicking the link to this episode at about.moodys.io/podcasts. And please tune in again for the next episode of Focus on Finance.
Thanks for listening to this Moody's Talks podcast. To find out more about the topics discussed, please follow the links in the show notes. You can check out other Moody's Talks podcasts by visiting moodys.com/podcasts.